Hey everyone, welcome to Myopia Movies. This week we revisit Disney Town with the animated classic, The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Or Hunchback of Notre Dame, if you want to be correct, but I apparently didn't the first take. Anyway, watch us get curiously into this movie. I don't know, I hadn't seen it, God, in years. It's quite good. Anyway, thanks for listening, thanks for subscribing, thanks for reviewing. Actually, please review us if you haven't yet. We haven't gotten any good reviews in a while. Also, if you are interested, please consider joining our Patreon, patreon.com/myopia, for extra content each month. Thanks, guys. Welcome to Myopia Movies. This week, we're getting back to Disney Animated and watching, according to this, the 2800th most popular movie on IMDb. Although apparently it became less popular the time I said
that. It's your fault.
I'm Nick Hobbinus of Myopia, riffer on Center Prominent panel we have.
Nora Trinette. I'm an advocate of watching movies while intoxicated.
That's good.
I'm Kelly. I'm back.
And she's dressed up like Esmeralda. Hello, this is Daniel.
This is why Daniel wanted to do a visual element, which I guess we'll talk about next year, or for next season.
Rather. You can take my picture, and you can post it. Is Esmeralda on the cover? Can you replace?
Oh, well,
can it just be my picture for this podcast?
You took a selfie of you in that costume, so
I did. I took several with several different filters. It's fine.
You did.
Hello, this is Daniel, a frequent contributor to popdose.com, and I was once crowned the ugliest man in Paris.
There you go.
No? Okay.
First of all, you have to go to Paris. That's quite a stretch. There's a lot of very ugly people in Paris. But second, Esmeralda isn't on the movie poster.
Bummer.
She's not?
I could Photoshop you over Quasimodo.
Yes.
It's him and bells and lava. And
yeah, it is, right? It looks like lava.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It is lava.
Can I make myself into fire and then you can put me in the fire like when Fuckwad is singing about his boner?
Frollo, yeah.
Yeah.
Fire. And then Mufasa's in the clouds in the background.
Yep. Nice. Everyone's looking now.
I mean that.
I'm kidding, Nora.
How am I zooming in? Like, where is this? It does look like the Mufasa clouds, though.
It does. How in that scene was the fire version of Esmeralda not naked? That's clearly what it's
happening. Well, because it's Disney, but they have, like, remember when she did the dance? We were like, that's skin tight. Like, it's the same dress. Okay. Well, so obviously, he watched her dance and he was like,
yeah, she's really.
Boing.
She's
and
really
just
like,
got really upset about
Marilla
it.
Does.
Yeah.
Well, the version that we watched was on Disney Plus, and they had...
They cleaned up the animation a little bit. Although right. The CGI still at times is...
And the background at times was messed up, too, because there was at least one shot where the crowd wasn't moving.
So I didn't know that they CGI'd the crowd in until you guys said something. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not even moving. Like, what is happening?
Well, I mean, and this is clearly... This is when Disney's in a lot of financial trouble. In like 2001, 2002, they're nearly bankrupt.
At this point, to be fair, they were still riding pretty high. I mean, Pocahontas didn't do critically all that great. They were expecting that to be another huge success, but they had just come off The Lion King, which nearly grossed $1 billion.
Well, yeah, but that
day.
Was 5 years before.
No, it was 2 years before.
Was it? This is 98. I thought
this
Lion King was 94.
Lion King was 94. This was 96.
Yeah.
Pocahontas came out when I was in second grade because I went as her for Halloween. Oh, and my mom told me that I was not allowed to wear pantyhose.
Wait, Pocahontas?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She wasn't wearing pantyhose in the movies, so hey.
Yeah.
Well, so I told my mom that I was pale, and so I wanted to wear pantyhose because my mom's pantyhose always made her look tanner. And she was like, first of all, you're in second grade. Second of all, you can't do that. Don't ever ask me to do that again. And I was like, oh, okay.
She was saving you for future embarrassments. She was saving you for cancel culture.
She taught me a very valuable lesson that day.
I got you.
About pantyhose?
About don't try to culturally appropriate other people by changing your skin color. Yeah.
The whole blackface thing.
Yeah.
In other words, don't do what Disney did.
It's not a thing that you think about in second grade. Because, like, I mean, I don't know. I feel like our listeners probably know. Kelly's the purist. So I was like, I have to look exactly like Pocahontas. My mom was like, no,
well,
you don't.
It was like, what was it, 4 years ago for Moana, they had those Maui outfits that had the fake
The shirts?
Yes.
Yes.
The shirts with the tattoos.
Boy, those were
those were rough. Yeah. And by the way, this is a time when Disney, I mean, despite itself, the animated movies were making money, right? Pocahontas.
Mm-hmm.
But this is also Operation Dumbo Drop, The Big Green, Tom and Huck, Homeward Bound 2, First Kid, The Mighty Ducks 3.
Yes.
That Darn Cat.
No, what?
Some of these movies are fine. They just all were not big money makers.
Have we done First Kid?
We have not. And we have not done Tom and Huck, which we wanted to do, and Kid in King Arthur's Court, which I think we've promised for 3 years now.
I'm sure. Daniel Craig and Kate Winslet together at last.
That's right.
I sent that one to you, Nick.
I know you did. And this is also the year before Mr. Magoo. And Flubber, which also lost money. And
Flubber lost money?
Oh, big time.
Dude, calm your tits.
You're like so mad about that. I'm actually kind of mad about that too, because I feel like we rented that movie a lot.
Well, because the thing about it is, it's not the Robin Williams part. It's all that CGI goo costs so much money, right? And then, of course, Mulan did fine, but then it was The Parent Trap, which is also fine. It's just these are not money-making movies. The Pixar movies were the ones making money, and they didn't make any money off Pixar. They just distributed it. So eventually, like 2000, they nearly go bankrupt after that Atlantis movie.
So good. So good.
Michael Eisner out as CEO, and then they replace him, and then things start looking up.
But I mean, the thing about this is, that's why they did the CGI background. It was a way to save a lot of money. And even if it doesn't move, it's still half the cost of hand-drawn.
And they're pretty quick scenes, so you wouldn't know it unless you knew it.
Still, though, Disney was doing that in the 70s, too. They were constantly reusing animation and, like, just taking all sorts of shortcuts. And it just pisses me off so much watching it these days because it's like, it's Disney. You're supposed to be the cream of the crop. This
yeah, but you know it now. You didn't notice it when you were a kid. You probably didn't notice it when it came out that there are four movies with the same dance sequence in it.
I don't know. What was it? Winnie the Pooh and Christopher. No.
The dances are Snow White is the same as the Jungle Book.
Jungle
it's
Book
the same
and Winnie
as
the Pooh.
Robin Hood.
Right.
And there was one other one, wasn't there?
Yeah.
There's like four that do it.
They reused animation from The Sword and the Stone and Robin Hood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, almost exactly.
The walking scenes from Jungle Book and Winnie the Pooh as Christopher Robbins and what's the Jungle Book? But yeah, Mowgli, there it is.
Either way, that's not shortcuts that the best animation studio in the world are supposed to be taking.
Well,
they use all the money for drugs.
I'm trying to be Michael Eisner. I mean, and this is also right around when we've got Anastasia coming out of Fox, which is an episode, because that is maybe the worst historical movie. Like,
it ranks up there.
Yeah.
My husband has a huge crush on Dimitri.
I will say this as musically, as far as just other Disney movies goes, and I hear this from classically trained people, that this movie in particular is the best as far as just how the dramatic scenes, how the builds, the character, the music, and all that kind of stuff. It's not very poppy, and I guess that's why
they're
poignant.
Lyrics have like a deeper meaning. They're not just like, I'm gonna walk through town with my book, right? Because we see Belle in this,
right?
Yes,
you
do. That little hidden character. So it's not quite as like day to day topical as the Disney Princess movies are. I feel like this kind of started, maybe not started, but like contributed to these more poignant songs that we get now out of Disney movies.
Is Aladdin the only financially successful Disney movie that has a male lead that doesn't involve animals?
That doesn't involve animals. That's a good question.
I mean, this is...
Well, I mean, Aladdin had Iago and Jazz.
Aladdin was the title character.
Right.
All the princess movies did fine, but like Goofy movie was a disaster.
Did Hercules make money?
I thought Hercules did okay. I don't think it made its expectations.
It didn't make its expectations, but it wasn't like a catastrophic bomb.
No, I mean, not like Treasure Planet, is not Disney.
There is so much about this movie that's incredible. That's amazing. And the one thing that holds it back is all of the Disney nonsense that they have to insert into it to get a G rating.
I really enjoyed the defying of gravity of Esmeralda's red dress when she does her pole dance.
Oh, there you go.
Well,
like,
does anyone want to go into the plot synopsis?
She's a ball of goo.
Yeah, I'm sure Daniel wants to.
Okay, come on, you got here.
Yeah,
you got to do something.
Oh, come on. I was playing with Naomi. Make me do the plot.
All right.
I mean, I can do it. So a bunch of gypsies show up, and it becomes the Holocaust for 20 minutes, down to the fire at the end.
Oh, damn.
That's what it is.
Well, it's really Disney. I see that.
Yeah. So, basing it on World War II, the catacombs of France was a place they were hiding gypsies to prevent them from being taken away for the Holocaust. This is actually based on real events. Anyway, so it turns out that one of the children, or Rollo being a racist, is convinced that the gypsies are stealing something. And so he shoves a woman down a flight of stairs. Turns out it's a baby. And he's going to throw it down the old baby well, like you do.
Because it's a monster.
Very Spartanish, yes.
Yeah. Very Spartan. But instead decides to raise it, sort of. This is where the plot makes no sense. If he's the, say, judge, why isn't he in the Hall of Justice? They said pass him off to a priest, which, again, makes no sense.
I'm just picturing Frollo sitting next to Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman in the Hall of Justice.
You know what? Honestly, better movie. but, yeah, anyway, so then Quasimodo grows up. Turns out he's the ugliest man in Paris, which, you know, stiff competition that year. But falls in love with a gypsy woman, and Frollo decides that his erection means everyone has to die. Mm-hmm. Which explains a lot of medieval Europe, actually.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's be honest about why this movie exists in the first place. And that's because Les Mis was such a huge hit on Broadway.
Yeah.
That's why?
Pretty much. Sure. I mean, this is another Victor Hugo novel, and that had been playing 10 years, I think, at this point, if not more. And that had been phenomenally successful.
Well, that's about the production cycle for a Disney animated movie, about 6 years.
Yeah. So they were trying to replicate that success. And unfortunately, in their case, they moved too much of the plot around to the point where they just, at times, completely diluted the original point.
Now, I'll ask this question, and you guys probably already answered it. So they did the Disney thing where they got a very dark, dark, dark story and made it into something light and fluffy and musical. And
sure.
Yes.
Which is weird because they still kept dark points.
No.
And even possibly created different dark points
they should have just left it dark. The problem for me is the whiplash.
Yeah.
Like, for example, we have three lovable gargoyles played by what?
One of them
Danny DeVito.
One of them's George Costanza. And I don't mean that Jason Alexander is the gargoyle. I mean, he's literally playing George Costanza in a Disney movie.
And then there's, what, Keith David and Jonathan Frakes and the other gargoyles.
I don't know the other two.
No, dude, there's a TV show called Gargoyles.
Oh, such yeah, a that's good right, show. Yes.
Yeah, with Keith David and Jonathan Frakes and...
I forgot all about that.
Bill Fagerbakke, who is the guy who did... Oh, he's in this movie. He's Patrick. He's the guy who voices Patrick, who's also in this.
Oh, yes.
Who's the guard that you were pointing out. Anywho's... But what the point is, whenever a scene actually has emotional depth, they trot out Jason Alexander to make a fart joke, and you're just like, but dude, you could have just let it sit for half a second, or made it clear that he is so lonely he's making up imaginary friends. Or any, like, this movie, there's probably a cut of this movie that had real teeth, and they just edited it down.
Yeah.
Because at this point, it was illegal for Disney to have a PG rating. And so, like, this is the softest movie. And Frollo really brings the fire.
Literally.
And then he softens. And you're just like, why can't he just be evil? Don't make him human at the end. Just let him die. Like, we don't need to try to save his life. It sucks.
Well, they cut down a lot from Frollo in the book. And to be fair, I only read the Cliff Notes back in the day. So I'm probably going to get some things wrong here. But Frollo was basically Victor Hugo's commentary about how that goddamn Catholic Church, it's so evil. But of course, Disney removes all that.
Well, because it was nice to the Jews or something. But what I was going to say is the other thing about Hugo's book is there's evil Frollo, and then there's the parish priest who wants to help. And what's supposed to be evil is the structures at play.
Right?
Because there are those who really do care for the poor, but the church doesn't, like the capital C church doesn't. They didn't think that was subtle enough for a Disney movie, so they had to make him the judge? ?
And they never explain why he hates gypsies so much. He just does.
It's just his job. They're illegal. They're stealing things. It's, you know, yeah.
He's more of a Riff Trax guy than a Mystery Science Theater guy.
Ah, I see.
That's just for Daniel and I.
Okay, so we should get into this just to skosh. Esmeralda.
Hi.
Voiced by Demi Moore.
By Demi Moore. Sung by someone who only sang in this movie. She was a lounge singer that people thought was cool.
Oh.
And that her song in this movie is beautiful. It's one of the best scenes in this movie.
Talking about the stripper pole scene?
Yes, of course. Obviously.
No, the song where she sings.
The one in the church.
Oh, the one in the church. Okay, I just forgot about the one where there's literally a stripper pole scene and it's a Disney.
There is literally a stripper pole scene.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, to be fair, we also have a guy singing about the fact that the stripper pole scene made him so horny that she's either going to die or marry him slash be his mistress. I don't know.
Probably the latter in that scenario.
Yeah, and I mean, remember, like, the song is Mea Culpa, right? Which is just like, he's acknowledging that he's wrong for feeling. Huh. I mean, and that's why it would make more sense if he was a priest or something, as opposed to this judge who... I mean, again, judges are supposed to be not divine, but they're supposed to hold sway over life. Like, that's what they're supposed to be. But we don't ever see him be a judge either. He's just like...
No. And we don't ever see him tell her, you're gonna marry me. Like, when he's two steps away from burning her, he says, I can light this or you can be mine. Like, what does that mean?
I don't want you to forget the scene where he's in the church and he just sniffs her hair. And just
Dude, he goes in for the creep
stuff. But I think that's Disney. Where it kind of all that was
Disney.
Oh, and he like creepy, like strokes her neck, like, I could kill you, but I won't. It was not good.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah.
So in the hierarchy of Disney's pickup lines, that one's pretty low.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that, guys. Don't.
Stranger danger.
Don't do that. Yeah, don't stroke someone's neck and sniff their hair without their permission.
I'm going to go ahead and update my dating profile now online to say I'm not going to stroke your neck, creepily.
And sniff your hair.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm not going to make any promises on that.
If you have permission, it's fine. But you don't just walk up to someone and stick your face in their hair.
In a church.
In a church. I know you claim sanctuary, but I'm going to get you one day. Like, that's not how you start a first date.
Yeah. Also, okay. We should talk about the sanctuary thing. None of it matters, and yet it all matters, right? Like, because it's supposed to be, like, get out of jail free card, right? And that's the thing about the Long Chaney version. But here, he's just like, no! And pushes open the door and tries to arrest people. Yeah. Which is... Again,
repeatedly.
In the Middle Ages, that literally meant you were going to hell.
Right, but like I said, make it have teeth. That's why it would make sense if he was part of the church and drew her outside or kicked her out. No, just a dude. It means that the movie doesn't matter in a lot of ways, right? Then again, at the end, Quasimodo accidentally gives up the ghost and ascends all the gypsies to die. Also, I do feel bad saying gypsy all the time since it's a slur.
What's
the Romani?
Let's go back a little earlier to the beginning of the movie. Well, not the beginning, because that actually makes no sense. The
smash cut to the castle. And then flies over, and then people are singing in Latin. Turns out we're watching the animated version of The Exorcist.
Yes.
Now, that
explains all the tubular bells we were hearing. This is weird. The movie's framed like it's a flashback from... I don't even know what the character's name was.
Chuck Exposition.
Yes. That is literally in Disney canon, that character's name. But what I was talking about is like the Quasimodo growing up and then at first talking to the gargoyles, which is where we get our first fart joke because George Costanza is making armpit fart noises.
There's so many fart jokes in this Disney animated movie.
They have to make it light because, you know, the real book was kind of dark.
Well, I mean, like...
Yes, but...
Yes.
This illustrates, like, the difference of the tone in this movie, which is so weird. The gargoyle scene is just, you know, it's light. It might be a Looney Tunes cartoon, but then...
It's a comic relief.
It's not just comic relief, though, because that definitely has a place. You're right, but in this case, it's just like a complete 180. It's like if you're watching The Exorcist, and then all of a sudden somebody puts a scene from Airplane in the middle of it.
Yeah, it's weird because I feel like the gargoyles are there, like they're, you know, right, like his little imaginary friends or whatever. So they're there to bolster him. You know, you're a good person. You're this. You're that. But then we're going to cut in this joke because, like, obviously nothing can be taken seriously because we're in your head. And
that's true. Would you like to go to White Castle? Plus, they never explain what the gargoyles are. I mean, Kelly just said, they're all in his
imagination.
Yeah, they're all in his imagination, but the film never clarifies that. I think you both are right.
Also, they move around, so that's kind of hard for me to be like.
Yeah, he moves them around. That's why he has crazy upper body strength.
Yeah, he carries all three of them in his arms like his babies, and then he just sets them down when someone else comes upstairs.
I mean, they do the Toy Story thing when anyone else besides him walks in, they always play dead.
But they never show that in the movie.
That's true.
Well, they do go back to stone when Frollo comes upstairs, right. And they are stone when Esmeralda is there, and then the one blows a raspberry at the goat and then decides that that's his soulmate, which is also weird and unnecessary.
But that's the thing right there. I mean, it's never clarified. Okay, these are Quasimodo's friends. They exist in his mind. That's why they're always frozen. When other people come in, that would make sense, but they're moving around. They're not always in the same place.
Maybe they don't exist in his mind. Maybe they're just as real as everything from Beauty and the Beast. Maybe they were part of the curse. Belle was in the fucking town. Like, who knows?
Beauty and the Beast explains.
Ugly curse. Can you imagine an ugly curse? Also, this is fresh off the IMDb trivia. Apparently, the goat is also in the book.
Dahlia? Jolly.
So maybe even Victor Hugo invented the idea of a Disney princess.
And bestiality.
Yes, he certainly did that.
Oh, damn. This is okay. I'm
the
just
noticing gargoyle things. Was sexually attracted to a goat.
But what could a stone gargoyle, be attracted to besides other creatures? I don't know.
Obviously, a goat is the answer.
Yeah.
They both have horns, so they could be in the same family.
This is true.
Yeah.
Actually, Norse got a good point.
I mean, I don't know. The goat was a G. Had other Esmeralda's other earring. So, okay.
It was just like, yeah, I know. I'm wearing both. I messed it up. Here, it's fine.
You can give it to me. I'll be the goat.
Yeah, here you go.
Nor, you are the goat.
Thank you.
It does pinch, though.
So the movie.
Well, the opening scene after the gargoyles, which is Quasimodo's big introduction song, which is fantastic. Quasimodo's actually, and I'm probably going to mispronounce this, Tom Hulce.
Yeah.
He's the guy who was in Animal House as Larry, one of the new pledges.
And he's
what's
Amadeus.
His name? Fish? No. Flounder.
Flounder's roommate, yes.
That was Flounder.
No, it wasn't
Flounder's roommate.
It was his roommate.
The tall, thin, dorky guy.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and he was also Mozart in the Amadeus movie, which is how he got an Oscar nomination.
Weird laugh, I remember that.
Anyway,
he's Larry Kroger, the guy who at the end is like, Dad, this is the guy who sexually molested me last month. We're going to go get married.
Yes, you know? He's the one who picks up the teenage grocery store clerk. And there's a whole bit with
the toilet paper coming out of the toilet paper,
and then the good and bad angels on his shoulders.
Have y'all done Animal House?
No, I don't think we ever.
I don't think y'all can do that. No.
Well, Revenge of the Nerds is definitely like the most Me Too'd movie.
Oh yeah,
it's all about sexy pranks.
Anyway, though, he's had a great career, and this was a great get for Disney. I mean, he was an Oscar nominee, and then he voices Quasimodo, and he also is singing in this movie, and he's got a great singing voice, and that opening song with him is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The scene where he just goes down that little slide like at Splash Mountain at Disney.
Yes.
That's my favorite part of the
movie. Well, I will say, that's where they don't cheap on the animation. Like, Notre Dame, in and of itself, is a character. Like, it doesn't go more than a block from that the entire time until they go to the catacombs at the end, but, like, it feels right. Like, it feels impressive and impending and big, and when they're in the actual inside, they have all the naves with the stone with the actual glass that hadn't existed since World War II, but you know, it exists in books, so they actually did the research. Like, it feels like a place, and they even change the audio so it sounds like they're in a big echoey chamber.
Mm-hmm.
That's best part of any Disney movie is when I forget that there's not actually a camera filming these characters. So like that scene when he's sliding down the, I guess it's a drain system.
Yeah, drain pipe. Yeah.
And it kind of pans behind him, and you get this like,
you get a
shot of the sky.
Right.
And like it was beautiful.
Right, but there's no camera there, which is amazing how they accomplished that.
And I mean, like, you get a feeling for how wide the buttress is and how high, like, because he is a standard variable. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And then they figure out, okay, well, he'd be this high up. This is how tall old medieval Paris is. The only thing they kind of bizarrely get wrong is at the beginning when we're introduced to Paris and the baker and the woman who's trying to steal the eggs and that girl who keeps singing. The clouds are below the, like, the cupola of Notre Dame, which means they'd be about 30 feet off the ground, which also probably means the apocalypse is coming. Like, it's like Frollo rolls into town and it gets colder, like a Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yeah. Well, the Christmas Carol. The whole plot also... Yes, it is, but the whole plot's also forwarded by the annual Festival of Fools.
Which is a thing.
It is a thing. Yeah. Who is the character that, like, opens as the narrator and then shows up in a couple other scenes?
Does he have a name?
I'm sure he does. Kloppen.
Kloppen. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Quasimodo desperately wants to go there because he wants to be among the people.
Yeah, he saw Esmeralda. He knows what he went down there for.
Well, also everyone's in masks, though, too. So he knows this is his day, right? Like, it's... He gets the festival, like, you're supposed to look different and be this or be that, you know, not be yourself. So he feels like this is his day to go out and be who he is without no one looking at him twice.
You are deformed, so and
wait.
You are ugly.
God, this gives me
my God, like,
wait. The next year, 97, there was a made-for-TV version of Hunchback of Notre Dame called The Hunchback. Starring Mandy Patinkin as Quasimodo, Selma Hayek as Esmeralda,
I can see that.
And Richard Harris as Frollo. Holy shit.
Oh, that's...
Made in the Czech Republic.
First and foremost, I'm glad you called it The Hunchback of Notre Dame just then.
I did.
That's not Dom?
Yeah, it's Notre Dame.
Of course it's Notre Dame. But I like the idea...
Wait, what's the correct pronunciation?
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
Oh, okay.
Smell your R's. It's French. Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
But you don't have
you
to
do it
right.
In the back of your throat.
Just call it The Hunchback.
I don't go there.
Totally fine.
Richard Harris is Frollo. That's...
Well, and Jim Dale was the singer, because he's a character also in the book.
We're totally forgetting about this one, for the actual movie, Kevin Kline's character.
Phoebus.
Phoebus.
Yeah, Phoebus and Phlox.
Phoebus.
Yeah.
Phobos. And his horse...
Steve.
No, it was Achilles, wasn't it?
Yes.
Mm. Who he just made sit on people's faces.
At least twice in
and
this
farts.
Movie.
Yeah.
Huh.
Wow. I mean, it's a horse.
Well, I mean, yeah. Disney's like, can we make this 20% funnier?
Can you train a horse to sit?
Yeah,
like
sure,
that?
Why not?
I trained my cat to sit, so I mean, I guess.
You trained your cat to sit?
What movie was this?
Oh, yeah, she doesn't get cookies unless she sits. She knows. She hears any sort of bag open, she comes running, and she looks at me, and I go, you need to sit. And she'll sit, and she'll just...
I know this is exactly just for Kelly, but it's 100% the horse from Tangled.
Which we've been watching the TV series, so yes, Maximus, yes.
But that's what it is. Like, it's practically anthropomorphic, but not, and it can sit and respond like it's a dog. That's what this is.
Wow. Because, like, the first time you see Maximus with Rapunzel, he fucking wags his tail. Like, horses don't do that. It's adorable.
It's adorable.
Phoebus in this movie is the captain of the guards, in Paris, I suppose. So he's introduced when he's just like riding through and a lieutenant stops him or something and like demands to see his papers. It was something like that.
That's
right?
That's why I really got like World War II Holocaust vibes from this, because it's like people asking for papers, you're rounding up minority. Like, and again, like, I know some of this is in the book, but you're Disney, you have 94 minutes to get a movie out. There's a lot of shorthand here to speed up, because it's also a fucking Hugo novel. Like, Les Mis is 36 hours long. Right? Like, even the musical, the one where that shouldn't be, the one with, what's his name?
Russell Crowe.
Mike in movies, Mike in songs, and fighting around the world.
That was good. Meanwhile, like, Hugh Jackman, who's an actual song and dance man, is like losing his mind, like, sing! And Russell Crowe's like, oh, crikey, I'm a Frenchman. And you're just like, oh, Russell.
Yeah.
Okay, again, they do this in real life, but in this movie, they're in France. No one has a French accent at all.
And it's Disney. I mean,
it's
of course.
Disney. It's Disney.
They're not going to cast Gerard Depardieu in this movie.
But they did do Beauty and the Beast, and people do have accents. Although it's only the characters that are in the town, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
By the way, They fucking brought back Belle for a second.
Gaston
should be the dude who's throwing tomatoes. Like, that's the cameo. I want more Gaston in this movie.
Well, Goofy made a cameo in this movie. Yes.
Daniel nearly punched me. Not because I did anything, but because it's Disney, so instead of the Wilhelm scream, they have the...
They did. Yes, they did.
Which is something. Nor watched how I did that voice, and it involves me manipulating my Adam's apple, and he just
chop the shit out of you.
That's also how you do SpongeBob. That.
Anyway,
I laugh at this, anything. Yeah.
The plot's pretty straightforward. I mean, it's not quite what the book was. The book is actually super depressing. Again, I haven't read it all the way through. I read the Cliff Notes at one point, which was depressing enough. But yeah. It's still pretty straightforward in the movie. What's going on? I mean, Quasimodo goes out. He meets Esmeralda. Frollo sees Esmeralda. He gets all angry and wants to kill her.
Yep.
Phoebus wants to protect her.
Sure.
She goes into the cathedral.
Sanctuary.
Yes.
Yeah.
Quasimodo tries to protect her. She gets out and gives him a map to... What was it? The Court of Miracles?
Yeah.
On her necklace, which I totally forgot about. Now I have to go home and make...
The necklace is a nice touch. It's kind of halfway between like a Jesus fish kind
That's
of
what
shape.
I was about to say. Yeah. I was like, did they get that model off of it? Is that
Dreamcatcher's what it is?
Yeah. That's kind of what it looks like. Yeah.
It's such a neat, subtle little thing. And once Quasimodo says, "Oh, I bet you this is the church," it makes perfect sense. But it's neat that he figures it out and Phobos or whatever the hell his name is.
Phoebus.
Mr. Fish Odor is what his name is.
Stank.
What did the Gargoyles call him? Phony and
Fabby and Flabby and
Bogus.
Bogus,
right?
There you go.
Something like that.
I stopped paying attention to the Gargoyles because that's by far the weakest part of this.
It's for the kids.
If you
Yes.
I mean,
I'm still pretty much 8 when it comes to Disney movies. It's funny. Back off.
Shh, fighting words. Okay.
I know.
No.
Shit.
I want to talk about this love triangle, or at least the love triangle that Quasimodo is putting in his head.
By
the way, he's just a third wheel in the entire
movie.
Yeah. He's a lumpy spare.
He's a fluffer.
He is.
You went there, didn't you?
I mean, he helped them.
Made a little model of my girlfriend. She's gonna marry me.
I mean, didn't realize Quasimodo was Kermit the Frog.
I just think this movie.
There's a lot of Miss Piggy, isn't there?
Well, no, I think this movie has a lot of bad. What's the word I'm looking for?
Plot.
No message when it comes to the kids.
Oh yeah, no. This is not a positive love story.
It's just
or for
like,
love.
It's like if you have a boner, you need to kill dark people. girls only go after the nice looking guy.
That's what happens in the book, though. I mean, Esmeralda does not like Quasimodo. It's all in his head.
For real?
Yeah.
It's delusional. This totally makes sense with why he has gargoyles as imaginary friends in this movie, then.
To be fair, Frollo also literally sings a song about, like, you're a monster, you're ugly, nobody loves you, and he sits there and fucking repeats it. As someone who was at a Catholic school in middle school, who was ugly in middle school, I fucking felt that on a level that was not appropriate for me to feel at like 8 and 9. Like it was not Catholic school is bad.
Oh, please.
Dude, I was tortured.
For real?
Like
yeah,
I came home several times.
Or is that Catholic school?
No, it was my school. It was the people that were there. But like I came home several times and was like, I wanna die. Then go back to school.
Well, right.
Like,
but okay.
My parents didn't let me go to public school.
So that frequently happened to me in public school, though.
Yeah,
so.
No kidding. Yeah. Suicide rates were very high in public school.
But I told my parents how I felt.
That's true. They didn't listen, and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, stop being so negative, Kelly.
I know, my God. Such a terrible person.
So Hunchback.
I was going to say, that might get kind
of... Well,
it's getting kind of dark. Like this movie.
Yeah, right? But do you need me to fart? Like, I can...
We need a gargoyle comic.
Well, that would be totally appropriate. We go from incredibly dark themes, and then all of a sudden, there's a fart.
That's true.
I mean, and I guess we can bring that up. Like, the Catholic stuff in this is very bizarre, because, like, in many ways, the Catholic Church itself is the safe place, right? And the violation of that is the bad thing, right?
Sorry, I remember my funny Catholic Church story.
Okay.
So I respect all religions and things like that.
That's not how you start any story.
Okay. Well, no. Okay.
I respect how badly this story is.
No. What I was gonna say.
He said it's funny.
And for the people who go to Catholic church, you'll find this hilarious. Well, I don't know. At least I found this. So I went to a Baptist school my 5th and 6th grade year. That has nothing to do with the story, but you know, I know the Old Testament. When they got to the New Testament, I'm like, I'm Muslim. A couple years ago, we went to this Catholic wedding, and they had mass for the wedding itself.
So you were at a 2-hour wedding?
Yes, but I walk in, I'm cool and stuff, and there's no AC in this church. No. And everyone's just sweating, and I'm just cool as a cucumber. And I'm like, sinners. Yeah, I'm just sweating. And so this is a 2-hour mass, right? So I'm just sitting here. And then I'm just chilling, and then, like, my legs getting, like, really restless. So, you know, I just put my legs up in what I thought was, like, a leg rest. So
no.
I'm just
chilling.
That's the kneeler.
Right. So I didn't know it was the kneeler thing. And everyone's just, like, giving me dirty looks. And I'm like, why is everyone giving me dirty looks? Everyone's sweating besides me. Y'all need to clean y'all's faces.
Now who's the sinner?
Right. So apparently the devil was inside me because he was just keeping me cool throughout this whole thing. Whereas I was the devil because, you know, the devil doesn't sweat.
Well, you put your feet on the kneeler.
I put my feet on the kneeler. And then all of a sudden it's like, and now we must all kneel down. And then they
and
just,
you're like, oh, I got mud on my shoes. Like, I can't.
Right. And I'm just like, oh, my God. I've been, like, defacing the church this entire time. Sacrilegious this entire time.
So, I mean, I'll tell a stupid story. It's almost about me. But I took a bunch of kids to Europe several times, actually. And this is a Protestant school, so they knew nothing about, you know, Catholic Church. And when you go to...
Right.
It helps to understand a little bit of what you're seeing, because you will. When we were going to Italy, we were going to Rome specifically. We were going to the Vatican. And one of the kind of oldest Catholic miracles is that people don't decompose when they die. There's about 50 of them in the world. They're called the incorruptibles, right? Because they were so pure that the death does not defile them. There's 2 of them in glass cases in the Vatican itself. And so you walk by, these people have been dead for 250 years. They don't decompose. And so I'm walking around and pointing out the art. I'm translating the Latin and pointing out stuff. And a student runs up to me and she goes, Mr. Hoffman, I saw the uncrustable. Now,
and now you put your head on the girl's shoulder.
Now, Lauren, this is, first of all, an important place for a lot of people, so you don't need to scream, I saw the uncorruptible. Second, it's the incorruptible. She goes, yeah, but he's over there, and he's not decomposing. I'm like, I'm very happy you're excited. But so, the uncrustables. You can see the uncrustables.
Yeah, but now I can't go home and eat my peanut butter and jelly sandwiches because they're also called uncrustables.
They're sacrilegious.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My
to be fair, the second you walked into that church, you were a sinner.
That's right.
That's true. Yeah. And I was
hungry. Hey, if it's a Catholic church, that's not true.
But here's the thing. I love... See,
Franciscan.
As far as other churches go, correct me if I'm wrong, there's a point where you have to bless each other. There's like...
The exchange of peace.
And I love doing that. It was like, peace be all with you. Peace be with you.
People
peace
are hugging. They're peace shaking with hands.
Like, hey, peace with you. You have money. I'm Muslim. Peace be with you.
So in middle school, I always went to the bathroom during that. Because, so you do the Our Father before us. So everyone would hold hands. Right. And then you do the sign of peace. And so I have hyperhidrosis. And so I was mercilessly teased for sweaty hands.
Yeah.
So we went to mass 3 times a week. So I went with my parents on Sundays and then twice with school.
Wow.
And so I was like, yeah.
Church.
That's super Catholic.
And so I was like.
Orthodox Catholics.
Nah. I have a set time of the day that I have to pee. And it's during this. Because I'm teased enough, you're not touching my hands.
I had a 1-year-old baby do that with me once.
You had a what now?
In the middle of a mess. There was like this 1-year-old baby who just looked at me. And they were in the pew in front of me. And they went. And then I was like sticking 2 fingers out and they had their hand around and you just went like
that's
this.
That's very cute.
So the purest blessing you can get.
If baby's like you, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
So Frollo then tries to throw people off a roof.
Segway.
So we see Esmeralda looking all sexy and Frollo's like, boobies! And then he wants to kill her.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then
she magically changes into another outfit.
Yes.
Which really bothered Kelly.
Here's the thing. I know how long it takes to lace this fucking corset up, you guys. There is no way she ignored what was happening, went and changed, laced up her corset, and went back out and was like, I'm so sorry, I never meant for any of this to happen. Like, you didn't even see it, bitch.
Girl, she's Whoopi Goldberg at the Oscars. She can make those costume changes like
Well, she frees Quasimodo after he's crowned the king of the Festival of Fools, which is this whole ritual that town's involved in.
Patrick Starr throws a tomato at him.
Right.
Yeah.
And then she cuts the ropes that people have lassoed him up with, and then gives some sort of rousing Spike Lee-esque speech about how her people are being oppressed.
Then they throw a trash can through the church window. Yep. It's one of those things.
Yeah,
I will see that scene where he gets tomatoes and shit thrown on him. I tear up in that scene. You know, it's just making fun of someone.
It's not okay. It's the longest scene, though. I mean, there's a very famous silent movie with Lon Chaney as Quasimodo, and he was like the guy who would design his own makeup. Have you ever seen like photos from the original Phantom of the Opera?
No, I haven't.
That was him too, and it's kind of hard to explain now because it sounds cheesy, but back in the day he was really famous for his makeup effects because he would design it all on his own, and he'd do things like his eyeballs up and then put fish membranes in them so they'd look cloudy.
What?
Yes.
What year was this? No.
This
was
the 1920s.
Oh, so no, like any type of, you know, CGI, anything of sorts, nothing. Commitment to that.
But no, he was a makeup master, and he did a version of the Hunchback of Notre Dame. That scene with him lassoed up there on the platform, and then Esmeralda coming to him is like a lift from his original movie.
Oh, that's good. They give a little taste of it. No.
Yeah.
But that whole scene. What's the hiding boner black guy in the black stain?
Frollo.
I just feel as if like he's that Mighty Python scene where he kept yelling witch.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he kept calling her that, and it's like, I mean, she did some like not magic. I mean, I guess illusions.
The powders is LSD basically. She drugged the entire place. And Frey disappeared.
The magic comes in the third act when there's a cauldron of lava. This
just one cauldron that floods.
Dude, and again, what is it supposed to be? Like,
it's got to be like gold.
It's got to be, but it'd be cool if it hardened people or something. But like,
it never landed on anybody because it's
just
me.
I thought it was cheese when I was a little kid. There was a distinction with Winnie the Pooh where I thought it wasn't honey, it was cheese.
It does look very much like Winnie the Pooh honey.
And in this movie, it just looked like the cheese on top of a pizza. It's kind of brown.
Kind of on fire.
Kind of on fire. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
But, like, we know what happens when hot things hit Notre Dame nowadays.
Damn.
Oh. No, dude, I'm just saying, like, cauldron of fire pouring, like,
over wooden floors.
They already burned down half of Paris looking for a single woman, right? Like, now the rest is on fire, and...
Which, like...
Although, to be fair, those fires were put out very quickly, according to the movie.
What?
Smash cut to the next day. Like,
what kind of crazy goes into burning down half a city, though? Like, have you guys ever...
Have you ever had an erection and you had to delete your tweets? Before, like, that's what this is.
I don't have a penis.
I mean... Regardless of what I say and what you guys think of my aggressiveness, I don't actually possess a penis. I have to buy them.
Lady boners.
I mean, they're not quite as violent or aggressive, usually. Visually.
Now for word for us.
Just let that string along.
Now thanks, Nick, for making it weird.
And now word for our sponsors. Lady penises.
Lady penises. Hi, I'm Nick Hoffman for Lady Boners.
Hey, go on Amazon. There's this suction vibrator on Instagram. Like, it's great.
Huh. So, Disney movies. So, he burns down half of Paris looking for one gypsy. Pays, was it 10 shillings, 10 silvers? Just
10, 20, 30.
It was 20 silver pieces.
And we get to... I mean, I was... Which is cool. You got to see how the people of France were actually...
helping the gypsies in a way which Nick mentioned that this also helped even with the Notre Dame Church would help the
Notre
Jewish
Dame
people.
Notre Dame is a college.
I know. Yeah. Go Irish.
They buy their way into everything. Absolutely not.
Oh, I forgot you went to Clemson.
My dad went to Virginia Tech.
Oh, that's what's up.
So we hate them all the way around.
Go Michael Vick. Okay.
I feel like that's probably more controversial than the fact that we did Harry Potter on this podcast.
But it was kind of cool to see how the people of the town were helping the gypsies. Also, it made the correlation how during World War II they were hiding actual Jewish people.
Yeah. This is where they Disneyfied it, though, because there's a scene where Frollo locks the people who refuse to help him in the wagon, pushes them into a river, which obviously,
pop out eventually.
That's the problem. They pop out.
I know.
Nobody is actually harmed. They just get a little wet.
Well, even in the next scene.
In that one, he tried to burn down a family.
But they survived by the John Smith lookalike.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, that's true.
But I mean, I just love that scene. They're like,
well, blind people
who dare
defile
these souls? Like, that reminds me of a song. Oh, like, and that's kind of the. I will say, I do like the songs that they sing, but most of the background music is like. Period appropriate, like organs.
It's the exorcist is what they're doing.
Well, yeah, I mean, but still.
Well, it's like it's choirs.
And they're singing
right?
In
Latin. So it's in Latin, it's quiet.
And it's.
Kyrie eleison a lot. Like.
A lot.
It's like you're back at Christmas.
I did love Frollo's villain song in this. It's basically Judge Turpin's song in the Sweeney Todd musical, but.
Well, and I like his princess
song. I have to hide my
beginning.
Boner now.
Basically,
the gypsy gives me tingles now.
Basically, yeah, that's not.
Let's burn down Paris now.
How am I going to rewrite this?
Be prepared. For what? For the burning of Paris! Yeah, I mean, and then he gets his princess song, which is pretty good too. And her, like, I wish I wasn't in this movie song, which is also pretty good.
Oh, it's the song with her in the cathedral that you're talking about? Yeah.
I mean, but like, that's her song. Like, I wish I wasn't in this movie. Why am I part of this plot? Can I go home now? And they're like, no.
Yeah, it's kind of what it is. Like, everyone in the church is saying, I wish for this. I asked for that. I pray for this. I pray for that. And she's like,
can I go home?
I pray for nothing. I thought we were all equal under God. What the fuck is happening?
You're in France.
Like.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not French, you might as well go home.
Basically. Yeah.
I'm Belgian. Like, I'm the same. Wow. Yeah, get out of my house, Nora.
Disney did Disneyfy the catacombs, though.
Oh, dude.
As far as when they went into
wearing funny skeletons,
right? Right.
They used skulls as puppets during the Court of Miracles,
which is also from Lion King. Remember when they're like, I've got a lovely bunch of coconut, and he's doing the thing with Jeremy Irons.
That's a deep cut. They said that was actually Mufasa's skull.
They did.
That is.
It's supposed to be, I think.
That's fucking dark.
I know, right?
Did not put that together at all. What is wrong with you people?
Think about it. They ain't no meat or substances because the Pride Land has nothing.
The hyenas.
Cannibalism. Oh, God.
They didn't have to make the evil one with darker hair. I don't think that's fair. Scar? It's kind of racist, right?
No, we all know that brunettes are evil, and blondes are the saviors of the universe.
And raven hair.
And a scar. Because his name was Scar.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So he had a scar.
What was he named before he got the scar?
Jim.
Okay.
Yeah, Mufasa and Jim.
Mufasa goes
to the face, and then it turned into Scar.
Hey, again, Catholic school flashbacks.
Just say school flashbacks.
Nah, because I went to... Five
Billy
different
Boner
schools
got
growing
hard
up.
On in school today.
Five different schools growing up. Only one of them was a Catholic school. So.
That's fair.
It was enough.
So we kind of went all over the place with the plot and everything.
We can just cut this out. Like, are you done?
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked for about an hour.
I want to go into the climax scene.
Do it.
Yes.
So after
the fiery climax.
So after Esmeralda kind of she escaped, where they had to find her.
She gets wounded at one point.
Right. Frodo and Phoebus go to the catacombs.
Frodo.
Oh,
Frollo.
Frollo.
So Phoebus gets stabbed.
Quasimodo.
And Froyo.
Phoebus and Ferb. Phineas gets stabbed, and Ferb's like, what? And then Esmeralda pours booze on it and then stitches him together.
Oh, yeah.
And Quasimodo sees Esmeralda and Phoebus make out. And
In a church.
I've been there. Not in the church scene, but, you know.
Dude, I went to Catholic school. Oh, people are making that? Out in the church.
For yeah. real? Mm-hmm. See, I can't even cuss in the church, you know. And I just feel like.
Because Jesus looks so sad. It's the Catholic one, too. So Jesus is on the cross, and he's like, guys, really, look at what I'm doing, and you're doing that.
Our Methodist church in Lexington used to hold a dance after football games. It was called Fifth Quarter. There was a lot of things that happened in that church.
Oh, boy.
Ew, not with me. No. But like,
I wasn't saying with you. I'm just saying I can imagine.
There were a lot of inappropriate things in that auditorium bathroom.
Were
my friends snuck off to the balcony. Like,
were they holding hands?
Oh, my God. Did they not leave room for the Holy Spirit?
There was literally no room. And when I say it was a dance, I mean, think back to high school. Like, it was a dance. Like,
well, I left room for Jesus.
Well, I rubbed my butt all over a whole bunch of people, so.
I forgot. Okay, so they capture Esmeralda, and they want to burn her at the stake like a witch.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where.
Burn her!
Unless.
We found a witch, may we burn her?
Yeah.
Unless she decide, I guess, Frollo. Gives her the option to burn or be a mistress. And I'm just like...
Either way, it burns,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah.
I'm seeing serious flashbacks to Ken Russell's The Devils. Has anybody else seen that movie?
I know.
But
oh, boy.
I mean, it's just... Again, this movie takes a dramatic shift without any buildup. And then... I mean, of course, the hero's got to save the day. This is where Quasimodo comes into his own.
With a rope that gets longer as he uses it and comes back to him when he's in need of it.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere Batman's like, what a great idea.
Right?
But yeah, and then he cuts her loose. He pulls her back up to the chapel and holds her up like he's about to throw her to the crowd.
Sanctuary! Well, here's...
Three times.
This
in case they didn't hear it, the first two times.
Dude, first of all, this is how The Rock ends, too, where he's holding it up in the air and the flyover happens.
This ending really exemplifies just how the justification of this material doesn't work because the burning at the stake scene is great. When Quasimodo saves Esmeralda... That's great. But then there are cuts to, like, the gargoyles throwing bricks at people and then...
chewing up rocks and...
Yes,
and doing bullets. Them down at people.
Bloody George Costanza spits bullets at people. And then there's even a fucking Wizard of Oz reference in the middle of all this. And it's like, why? Why did you need any of that?
But why not?
But it screams because that there was a table reading and Eisner's like, make it funnier. Right? Like, that's what it is.
Well, that's the problem. I mean, it's like, okay, make this more kid-friendly. It's like, you were doing perfectly well before this. Don't add this nonsense in.
Well, and I will also say worse, rewatching it. Oh, God, your hair.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was pulling so bad.
It's fine. Your hair
you don't have black hair?
This is the first time. This is the first time he met you, and it's all been lies.
Yeah.
Beginning to end.
All of it. Oh, my leg comes off, too.
Do you have booze in it?
Not today.
What I was going to tell you, though, is... it's gone. Oh! The scenes even look like they're animated differently, right? Because when the gargoyles are on screen, the background is even a different shade, which screams to me that there's a finished cut without some of these scenes, and they went back and animated more, right?
I see that.
Just like that Spitfire scene in particular, right? Mm-hmm. The scene with Quasimodo's back is there. It's very dark. It's almost purple behind him. It's gritty. And then they cut to the sunset behind the gargoyles, which lightens the scene. As though, again, this movie was a tight 88 minutes, and then they're like, we need 8 more minutes of jokes.
So we can sell toys at Burger King.
Oh, yeah. Burger King meal.
For sure.
And no one wanted Quasimodo. You wanted the funny one. You know, the funny one.
The funny one gave me a blister when I was a kid.
Gross.
What were you doing? On my thumb.
Oh, it was a finger puppet?
Yes.
Ah.
Okay, this sounded very inappropriate.
I was about to say, I was like how'd you get
it? Do we need to call someone for
Costanza?
You?
Do we need to call Costanza?
Costanza gave me a blister on my thumb.
Can't
and
stand
you. Yeah. I tried calling him at Vanderlei Industries, but nobody picked up.
It's an importer exporter. I'm an architect. Anyway. Anything else you guys want to bring up? We can wrap this together.
I mean,
we've been talking.
Yeah. About everything about the movie.
Oh, but it's fine. I mean, that happens with these kinds of movies. Where yeah. The movie is bizarre, but it's overall fine.
You know, yeah. The actual end scene's fairly good for what Disney usually does. Like with Phoebus and Esmeralda like coming out.
Making out for 3 days.
They make out for 3 days, and because they start at night, they walk out in the day.
Eyes. Yeah. Just like,
I didn't even think he walked out with him, did he? And he finally came out in the sun, like, I've been hiding in a closet for 3 days because I cannot with these two.
So that's what they were doing.
But
meanwhile, one of the gargoyles is just like,
but everyone in the town square likes him, so hey.
Well, they cheer because they saved, he saved the pretty one.
How do they know that?
She says so.
Okay.
But yeah, and then they got rid of the evil judge, right? So like, no one liked him, really.
Dude, Frollo super dies.
Oh, have we seen the scenes where Frollo suddenly has red eyes, like he's just been smoking
all day?
Dude, first he goes from stoner to Satan. It's like, he has pink eyes, and then at the end, like, he's trying to cut people down with a sword and stab Quasimodo with a knife. He falls down riding this gargoyle like he's fucking Slim Pickens riding the meat down to earth.
Whose eyes also light up like a demon.
And like
that just made sense.
He goes to hell tonight. Like, dude, it is something. And then they're like, and then the next day the sun is fucking shining. My God.
Into the mystery magma. That's all of a sudden gone. As soon as they come out.
There might as well be fucking bird singing zippity-doo-dah. Like, this is such a weird ending all of a sudden. Like,
well, there was Daniel's favorite scene where someone gets knocked out and they have, like, the bird whistle.
They
which
do.
Daniel really loved. So it's, like, his favorite.
Yep. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. When,
just to clarify, what happens is I think one of the gargoyles drops a brick on the soldier's helmet and... we get this like Tex Avery sound effect where it's like
yeah.
Between his punches him in the head.
Okay, that was it.
But like the way this movie should end is like an 80s action movie where like Esmeralda puts a blanket over Quasimodo's shoulders or vice versa and he goes, are you okay? And she goes, I will be. And like smash the credits, we don't need anything the next day. Like the fact that everyone cheers for Quasimodo, that is 100% the end of Lion King.
Oh, and the cute little girl like touches his face in a really creepy way.
Oh, yes.
She tried to hug him, but didn't know where to start.
Yeah. She's like, people hug each other, maybe. Is this how it happens? I'm just going to hold your hand and introduce you to all these other people instead.
You're gross.
I touched your face. Ooh, can I take your hand?
This is not what I thought it would be like.
Said literally least, every girl ever.
That's a wow. At the very least, it's a good shot. I mean, it's a reference to that.
Warming.
It's a reference to that movie Mask from back in the 80s. But I mean, it works.
It's fine. It's
I mean, or the what is it? The Miracle Talker, the Helen Keller movie.
With Pepsi Girl.
Miracle Worker.
Yes, yeah. Miracle Worker.
We can wrap this up. Nora, what are your final thoughts?
Many, but I'll start here. Felis either has small dick syndrome or has an STD.
Who's Felix?
Oh, Felix. See, this is why I got the names
Froyo.
Wrong.
Frollo.
Frollo. Frollo has small dick syndrome or an STD. That's why he's mad and wants to burn half the Paris because that's what his penis feels like. Quasimodo is just a super third wheel and accepts it at the end. That's why him and a Felis and Esmeralda get together, and that's why he has that happy ending where the girl hugs him because
that's
they
right. Next week at TCBY, try our new small dick flavor for Froyo.
That's one of the sherbets they put in the Sprite. I've had that.
Oh,
that's one of those things that like you can get at Disney World that's floating in Sprite. Small dick problems.
Speaking of Sprite,
it's blue.
Speaking of Sprite. I watched this movie one time in college with friends who wanted to do lean and watch the movie. Makes it so much better. Overall, it's a great movie as far as the music goes. It really pulls you in dramatically.
Sure.
Is it my favorite Disney movie? No. But it's an okay movie for me.
Kelly?
Yeah, I mean, I watched this movie on repeat as a kid, and I think I missed a lot of the finer points.
The STT ones?
Yeah, I mean the fire sex Esmeralda one, totally missed that at 8 and 9. And another thing I learned tonight is that I picked the wrong lipstick color for my cosplay, so I have to fix that before Dragon Con.
I do appreciate the spray tan beforehand, though.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that was just kind of fun. It did weird things to my hands, though. So we'll
see.
There
you go.
You know, I bought three. They were like $75, and usually they're $50 a piece. I was like, okay. Oh. So I got two left, and we're just going to see where that goes.
All right.
But I learned at Halloween as Morticia that no matter what I do with makeup, my face will not look right with a black wig unless I just add a little more color to it. So I'm allergic to the sun.
Something.
So much of this movie is actually legitimately phenomenal. They actually have a lot of dark themes in this that Disney usually shies away from, like really dark themes. Kelly referenced one of them with Frollo wanting sex, and then like just the racism that they confront with the Romani. But
well, and the mental abuse that goes into Quasimodo at all. Like, yes. It's
to the point where he's imagining gargoyles.
Yes, exactly. But they
can you imagine being so mentally deranged you imagine Jason Alexander?
Ugh. What a world.
Costanza? Yeah, I can.
They keep, will you remember?
Sorry.
They keep tripping over themselves because they just have to add Disney shit in here. They have to add comic relief. They have to add slapstick humor. They have to add lighter scenes, which just does not work for what this movie is trying to do. And what the core of the movie is trying to do is great. They've got a great cast. They've got beautiful animation. But then those fucking gargoyle Costanza comes up, and then it just collapses.
Well, I kind of agree with Nick that a lot of those scenes feel like they kind of came after. They weren't natural. The colors were not consistent. So maybe, you know, preview audiences were like, oh my God, I'm going to cry. And Disney was like, we're going to make them talk.
I don't know for sure. I don't disagree. That sounds right. But either way, it was the wrong decision.
I mean, I also like the sex positive message here, right? Like, because she's supposed to be looser with her sexuality and more positive about it. And Frollo, the sexually repressed one, is the evil one. Like, that's interesting. It's not very Disney. But I will say, this movie is fine. I enjoyed it. It's really interesting as a case study to look at what came before and what after, because like there's a reason why I think this one is not the same level classic as some of the earlier Eisner ones are, but it's also not as bad as the things that killed Disney. This has a lot of the elements of both, and that's why I think it's kind of one of those ones that people who are exactly around our age, who saw it when we were young, remember it, but they don't know what to do with it, right? Like, this also got a sequel. Like 20 years later, made by Disney Toon Animation, which, right? But there's no heart outside specific scenes, which are ruined by the fact that it's then cut up with humor. Anyway, you guys tend to be very baffled when we do these Disney movies, but this one, I think, is the reason why we do Disney movies occasionally, because it really strikes all those chords from the old show to the new show. If you have suggestions for ones like this, we're putting together the next season, so let us know. And we alluded to a few. Kid in King Arthur's Court, Flubber.
Hopefully Anastasia.
We did Black Cauldron already, but we're talking about doing Black Hole, their response to Star Wars back in the day. So let us know.
There's Quest for Camelot. Was that Disney?
No, it wasn't. It technically is now because they bought Fox.
Yeah, that's right.
Daniel threatened me with Shrek, so we'll see. But in the meantime,
Hercules is going to come up soon, I'm sure.
I love that song. From Zero to Hero. And Danny DeVito is the Disney princess. So stay tuned next week and every future week to put a bit of your past on trial. Thanks, guys.
Myopia Movies is a production of Dude Letter Podcasting. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman, edited by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Suttis. The theme song is Sheriff Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod. Find his music on comtech.com. It is registered under the Creative 4 license. Our regular panelists are Matthew Quinn, Daniel Suttis, Nick Hoffman, and Jeremy Weigel. Thanks for listening. Please support our Patreon at patreon.com/myopia. Thanks, guys.